Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM, Port Huron.
He guides my ways in righteousness, and He anoints my head with oil, and my cup it overflows with joy. I feast on His pure delights, and I will trust.
From Our Savior Lutheran Church here at 6th and Wall in the city of Port Huron. Those of you on radio are picking us up on WPHM 1380. You can also pick us up on podcast at WPHM.net. It's usually available by Monday. And we're trying something new today. We're going Facebook Live. So bear with us as we try to figure out technical stuff and IT stuff that none of us are particularly qualified for. And we have a little bit of technical difficulty with sound, so please bear with us. So the prelude you just heard was "The Lord is My Shepherd" from Stonely Worship. Today, our radio sponsorship is in memory of Doug Abbott, who is a longtime member of this church and is surely missed. Today, Pastor Don is not with us. He has just undergone some surgery, and he is in rest and recuperation, and we encourage him to take advantage of that. Because, PD, we've got this, and we'll take care of you any way we can. So please, rest up and come back to us good and healthy. So today, our praise team consists of our assisting minister, which will be Katie Quater, and then Katie's mom, Judy Quater. Then we have Helen DeTerry, and then our technical expert in the back will be Denver DeTerry. So I thank you all for your help today. So today is our fifth Sunday in Lent. So we are going to go to our gathering hymn this morning, which is "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus" from Sovereign Grace.
strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes to the hillside where justice and mercy embrace. There the sun
adequate response to that song is amen. I can't think of a better piece of advice in this day and time that we're living with COVID and all the strife we have, but to turn your eyes upon Jesus. What a wonderful song. I want to thank Helen DeTerry for her music list that she continues to bring to our praise team every week. It is always so uplifting and it's always so appropriate, so I thank you for that. Let's get into church today. God promises Jeremiah that a new covenant will be made and will be made in the future. A covenant that allows all the people to know God by heart. The church sees this promise fulfilled in Christ, who draws all people to himself. When he is lifted up upon the cross, our baptismal covenant draws upon God's heart. Through Christ, he draws God's love and truth into our hearts. We join together in worship, sharing in word, song, and meal, and leave strengthened and share God's love with all the world. We gather this morning to worship our God, revealed to us, our Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I want to take a minute before we move on. We will be celebrating the Eucharist today. So if you would like to gather some juice, wine, bread, or some type of wafer, later on in the service, we will be celebrating the meal. So if you would join me today with the confession of forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the keeper of the covenant, the source of steadfast love, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. God hears us when we cry and draws us close in Jesus Christ. Let us return to the one who is full of compassion. And if you would join me, fountain of living water, pour out your mercy over us. Our sin is heavy, and we long to be free. Rebuild what we have ruined and mend what we have torn. Wash us with your cleansing flood. Make us alive in the Spirit to follow in the ways of Jesus as the healers and restorers of the world that you so love. Amen. Beloved, God's word never fails. The promise rests upon grace by the saving love of Jesus Christ. The wisdom and the power of God, your sins are forgiven, and God remembers them no more. Journey in the way of Jesus. Amen. And our hymn of praise today will be How Deep Is Our Father's Love by Fernando Ortega.
I cannot give an answer, But this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.
And Kitty is going to lead us in the prayer of the day.
God, with steadfast love you draw us to yourself, and in mercy you receive our prayers. Strengthen us to bring forth the fruits of the Spirit, that through life and death we may live in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Feeding one's soul is still as important as physical food, and our first reading is going to be read to us by Judy Quater.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First reading comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. The Judeans in Babylon blamed their exile on their ancestors who had broken the covenant established at Sinai. Here the prophet looks to a day when God will make a new covenant with the people. There will be no need to teach the law because God will write it on their hearts. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they will shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sins no more. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. And then Helen is going to take us into our Psalms and our second reading.
There it goes. Good morning, and welcome to Our Savior Lutheran Church. And for those of you who are tuning in for the first time, a very warm welcome to you.
Today's psalm is Psalm 51. Still not doing
it. There it goes. Okay. Okay. Today's psalm is from Psalm 51, and the antiphon being "Create in me a clean heart, O God." Here begins Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. In your great compassion, blot out my offenses.
Wash me through and through from my wickedness, and cleanse me from my sin.
For I know my offenses, and my sin is ever before me.
Against you,
only I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight. you so you are justified when you speak and write in your judgment. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Indeed, I was born steeped in wickedness, a sinner from my mother's womb. Indeed, you delight in truth deep within me, and would have me know wisdom deep within. Remove my sins with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be purer than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness, that the body you have broken may rejoice. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my wickedness. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with your bountiful spirit. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Now today's second reading is from Hebrews chapters 5, verses 5 through 10. Using priestly imagery and references to the Old Testament, the author explains how Christ lived in trusting obedience to God. And so God has made Christ the source of our eternal salvation. So also, Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. This is the word of God and word of life.
Thanks be to God. And Kitty is going to read today's gospel for us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our gospel for today is from John's Gospel, chapter 12. Glory to you, O Lord. The gospel for this day comes from John, chapter 12, verses 20 through 33. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine.
Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. And Katie, if you would take us through the prayers of intercession, please.
Relying on the promises of God, we pray boldly for the church, the world, and all in need. You wash us through and through and remember our sin no more. Make your church a community of forgiveness throughout the world. Give your people courage to forgive. Through them, show the world new possibilities. Bless ministries of repentance and reconciliation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You fill the earth from tiny grains of wheat to the mighty thunder with your presence, and you call us to attend to your will for all creation. Grant weather that prepares the soil for seeds. Protect all from violent storms, flooding, and wildfires. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You promise to write your law on our hearts. Guide citizens throughout the world to shape communities that reflect your mercy, justice, and peace, and give them creativity to work for the welfare of all. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You sustain us with your bountiful spirit. Restore the joy of all who need to know your presence, those who are lonely or feel unforgivable, those who need healing of mind or body, those who are dying, and all who grieve. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Jesus calls us to follow him in life and death. Empower this congregation in discipleship. Equip children and teachers in Sunday school, confirmation, and learning ministries. Give us your truth and wisdom, and teach us to follow Jesus. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
In the cross of Christ, your name is glorified. We praise you for those who have given us words to worship you. With all those who have died in Christ, bring us into life everlasting. Hear us, O God. Mercy is great.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We ask you for healing and comfort to those in pain, particularly on this day, Donna Taylor, Ray Chanowski, Don Chittister, Phyllis Akers, Teresa and her husband, Rick Hazard, Harper Cataldo of 4 months, who is getting medical testing for his parents and family. And be with Pastor Don and allow him to heal, rest, and recover to come back to lead his sheep. And the family of Linda Rock, the sister of Kathy Cole, who had recently died this week. And Lord, we ask you to put your healing hand on this entire world as we go through this pandemic and these political strifes and this discord. We know that you therefore are there for us and that we put our eyes on Jesus. We entrust ourselves and all our prayers to you, O faithful God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. Before we get going too far, I kind of wanted to talk to the people who might be watching us on Facebook and be wondering why I'm not wearing a face mask or what we're doing. For starters, I'm preaching to 3 people in the congregation and Katie. So we are properly socially distanced. If we get within 3 feet of each other, we will put a mask on, but for the most part, we're not doing that. So please be with us. Also, we're doing battle with some electronic demons here that are messing with our sound system, so bear with us as that might come and go. So blessed be to God, the Father of mercies and God of comfort. Good morning. I have some good news. And I have some bad news. Which one would you like first? How often have you been presented with a statement with a choice like this? Immediately, your brain begins to calculate the risk-benefit analysis. Which is probably worse? Do I ask for the good news in hopes that it offsets the anticipated enormity of the bad news that I might receive? Or do I ask to hear the bad news first? It's like ripping off a Band-Aid with the expected anguish by tearing it off as quickly as possible to get it over with. And it seems much of the time, while we're mulling over which decision to make, the one offering the choice makes the decision for us and just tells us one or the other. Now, the Lenten season, for the faithful at least, is a roller coaster of emotions. It's the highs, the lows, the adoration, the happiness, celebration, disgust, anger, horror, mourning, disbelief, relief, and then concluding in the elation and celebration. The story can be completely overwhelming, and the anxiety-ridden impact it requires of the reader. But one has to look beyond the story. It is so amazingly easy to get lost in the emotions of the good news that eludes you in this story of the Lenten season. The Gospels of the Lenten season are filled with these mixed perceived messages. Jesus is continually bumming us out with the truth and the realization of his impending death. But by the same token, Jesus also reassures us that his sacrifice is for the greater good, so we can be saved from our own sinful selves. The gospel relates most of the same message from different points of view by different authors. In the book of Mark, we are told where Jesus is telling the disciples that he must die. Now, Peter's not taking that very well. Peter is aghast, and he begins to challenge Jesus, and he cannot believe the certainty and the revelation that's just been given to him. Peter is immediately rebuked by Christ, and it has to be so painful to be rebuked by someone you love. But Jesus tells him with that well-known statement we've all heard, "Get behind me, Satan." See, Peter has missed the entire most important point of what Jesus had just told him. He's telling him the Son of Man will rise from the dead in 3 days. In today's gospel lesson, at first blush, it seems very ominous. It seems to be all about death, that one must die to flourish. We're told about the seed that Jesus must die. That seed has to die in order to become the plant that it was meant to be. And if that's not depressing enough, then Jesus throws another bombshell at us. And he asks us, though, or tells us rather, those who love our lives are going to lose it. Those who hate our lives are going to keep it. Now, those sound like contrary statements to me. But the problem is we have to stop, we have to look, and we have to listen, and we have to look at the context with which the story is told. If we stop right there, we can't realize the gift that's been bestowed on us. We need to hear Jesus telling us that whoever serves him serves the Father. Now, the pessimist would look at a statement like that only to believe that we are being told that we are devoid of free will, and that unless we give up everything, the only thing we can expect of this world is death without a future. But the faithful, even those who are fearful, understand the opportunity afforded to us to give ourselves heart and soul to follow Jesus Christ is not to suffer the loss of the possessions that we have earned in this lifetime. But he uses these stories and parables to explain in an understandable fashion why it is he is destined to suffer and die for our forgiveness. But this is where our human condition comes into play. As humans, we're experts at denial and of the unacceptable or the undesirable truths. Now, when I read the Bible or anything for that matter, I like to contextualize the story. I like to put myself in the place of the characters in the story. I like to visualize it. I want to empathize with them. I want to try to feel what the characters are feeling. And sometimes that is really, really difficult. And when I look at the passage from Mark, and I look at the passage from today from John, I think the closest that I can come to true empathy in these situations are the times when my father and my brother were in the hospital and they had become terminal. I had to take part in a decision to stop care and to allow the process of death to take over. At those points, my faith has been challenged through fear and denial. But if I sit back and I think visually like I tend to, I can picture myself talking to my father and my brother. And what if they had had the ability to have a conversation with me when we knew that their deaths were imminent? Now, I think they would have told me it's not a bad thing, that it is the process required to move into our Heavenly Father's home, and that somehow I should be happy and celebrate this. Now, being the good son and brother I am, I can hear myself arguing with my father and my brother. Tell them, the doctors are wrong. You are much stronger than that. You're not going to give in to these diseases and these maladies, and it's all nonsense. Then I can imagine my father, my brother, taking me to task. Scott, now why would you deny me this gift? This gift of putting pain and sickness behind me, to allow me to live in paradise with God our Father, without pain, without worry. Now we think we're telling this person how much we love them by denying what you've been told. But if we do that, we've totally missed the entire point of the message given to us. Sometimes we are so focused on the bad news that we are completely oblivious to the good news, the greatest news of all time, and it's staring us right in the face. Now, I had a unique experience while I was preparing this sermon. A friend of mine from high school sent me a text as I was writing this, and she told me that her mother had just passed away the week prior. So in my poor attempt to provide her with consoling words, I realized the answer that I should be given staring right in front of me on my laptop. The chance to tell her the story of Peter and Philip and Andrew and how they missed the point of what Jesus was telling him. He was telling them that the bad times are coming. But don't worry. Our Heavenly Father has a plan for us. And that plan has always had our best intentions and our best interests at the forefront, no matter what is staring in front of us right now. The sadness and grief of this world are only temporary. The celebration of the gift of Christ, given to us by sacrificing his human form in the most horrific way possible to rescue us from our sinful ways, to reward us of an eternity in paradise. The wonder of the Lenten season is that it is not only a reflection of the life and ministry and the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ, but it's also a reflection of our earthly existence. Just look around our world right now. Specifically, let's look at the last couple of years between COVID, politics, riots, division, distrust in any way possible. We're all stressed. We're so stressed we're even close to the breaking point, even with a pandemic that seems to be unending. We've been imprisoned in our own homes, witnessing hatred and division among the people, more severe than we probably have in our entire lives short of warfare. Now, homelessness, despair, wars, famine, raising crime. I can continue going on with these things, but if I did, the only thing I would accomplish here at this point would be to depress us even further. But with all this noise and this distraction and this depression that surrounds us, it is so easy, so very easy to lose sight of the good news. Even when we're reminded, we have difficulty giving it credibility. this is where it's imperative to listen to the entire message and understand the meaning and context. Rewards and things and people we hold dear, but the knowledge that we are looking for beyond the life directly in front of us. We gain the confidence to have inherited an eternal promise of life, peace, and love. As Christians, we should be extremely optimistic about the future of our world. But as human beings, we're incapable of having the faith required to have that certainty, if not for the promise of Jesus Christ. Now, this is where we need to embrace the season of Lent. We have a major advantage over those living in Jesus' time. We've read the story. Unlike them, we know the end of the story. And we need to take those lessons and guarantee of the good news and embrace it. Take it deep into our soul. Pray incessantly that while our current situation is difficult, we absolutely know that a better, more wonderful life lies ahead of us. But we can't stop there. Because once you know and have accepted the good news, you can't keep it to yourself. As the old song, don't hide your light under a bushel. Don't keep the gift to yourself. Just because people like me as a lay minister or pastors are preaching in a pulpit or in different ministries, that doesn't take your mission away from you as ministers. Your mission is to spread the good news of the gospel wherever and whenever possible, with a clear understanding that it is an act of love and not an act of coercion and not something to be forced upon people. In my little attempt here today to leave you with some hope for our future, let me leave you with this scripture from Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear, if not life more than food, and the body more than clothes. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet the Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his splendor was not dressed like one of these. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow and is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you with you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And this is the message we have to take with us daily and realize the life ahead of us may be rough and rocky road, but we know that it leads to the most wonderful pathway to our Father's house. Amen. I would like you to join me today in the affirmation of our common faith and recite with me the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, and was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. And on the third day he rose again, and he ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, and the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Now, if we were in a regular church service and pre-pandemic, we would be taking our offering at this time. And as I always do, I like to remind people that your church is still a physical building and it still has financial needs. So please pass on your tithes and your giving as best you can. So today, I'd like to recognize some of the anniversaries we have coming up. On March 30th, Terry Cataldo, been married 36 years. Cheryl Dorsbacher, we having her birthday on the 28th. It doesn't show her age. Hope Dorsbacher will be having her birthday on the 30th. And the things we have coming up here is April 4th. We'll have the Easter, the resurrection in the memory of Doug Abbott and Dorothy Schess and grandson Rick Adams for his birthday. The other thing is we hopefully will be getting a new sound system. Doug had researched it very thoroughly, and it looks like we're going to move forward with that. So at this time, if we were collecting our offering, we would then have our offering prayer, which will be Katie.
Faithful God, you walk beside us in desert places, and you meet us in our hunger with bread from heaven. Accompany us in this meal, that we may pass over from death to life with Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
We're going to do the communion meal. So just a reminder, we will do the blessing of the elements, and then after that, we will take the meal, and I will direct you when to take your cracker or wafer or whatever, or your wine. In the night in which he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took the bread. He gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after the supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it all to drink, saying, "This is the cup, the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and all people, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, if you would go ahead and take your wafer. If you have the little communion cups, it's the first tab on top. And if you have that ready, this is Christ's body given for you. Take and eat. And if you'd take a moment and get your wine or juice or whatever your choice is for the meal and have that prepared. This is Christ's body. It has been shed for you. Take and drink. You've received the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his death and his resurrection, he has made full satisfaction for your sin. Depart in his peace. Amen. God of steadfast love, at this table you gather your people in one body for the sake of the world. Send us in the power of your Spirit that you live and bear witness to the love that has made us new in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You are what God made you to be, created in Christ Jesus for good works, chosen as the Holy Beloved, free to serve you, your neighbor. God bless you, that you may be a blessing in the name of the Holy and the life-giving Trinity. Just to let you know, I missed some of our music, so we're running a little ahead. So we're going to go ahead and have the song I missed prior to our dismissal.
Thank you. light, my strength, and my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand.
Caught up in our music, and we'll have that was In Christ Alone by Lauren Daigle, and our sending hymn was recommended to us by Marsha Wetzel. So that will be Let There Peace Be Peace on Earth with Vince Gill and his daughter Jenny.
Let this be my song.
peace, share the good news.
Thanks be to God.
Begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.